I wonder if this problem is ever going to stop. Another one of our big Canadian banks is backtracking on some shady business practices. We're going to look at that story. Also this morning, Tesla is laying off 10% of its global workforce and a key executive is leaving the company. I'm going to share my thoughts on the new 30-year mortgage policy. I'm not a big fan of it. And Alberta's population growth is starting to take a toll on the province. Today is Monday, April the 15th, 2024. Let's get started with today's top stories. There's yet another disappointing story that's coming out of our Canadian banking sector. If you are a CIBC customer, you may have been surprised to find a $5 fee that was added to your e-gift card purchase if you made one. And this was categorized as a cash advance charge. And the issue that is sort of becoming very controversial today is that CIBC has been treating these transactions as cash-like, which usually includes actions like withdrawing cash or making a payment that directly transfers funds. But e-gift cards, these are used exactly like traditional gift cards. You use them to purchase goods. They should not logically be equivalent to cash withdrawals, but they have been charging this $5 fee. Now, in response, and probably here to me an admission that they did something wrong, CIBC has decided to retract the fee and reimburse the affected customers for charges that were made between September 29th, 2023 and February 29th, 2024. And this decision here, it comes after there were multiple complaints and then, of course, the all-powerful media inquiries, which placed a highlight on the ongoing frustration that a lot of customers were feeling regarding these unexpected banking fees. The problem might not stop there. It might be go simply beyond bad business practices. Murali Chandrasekharan, he's a professor at UBC Sauder School of Business, and he says adding an unexpected fee to a purchase may be a violation of the Competition Act. Tesla has announced they're going to be laying off more than 10% of its global workforce, and they are citing declining sales and increased competition. The company, which employs 140,000 and change people globally as of the end of last year, it's been hit pretty hard by falling EV demand. There's been a shift in consumer preferences more towards the cheaper models, and this is true particularly in China, which is, of course, the world's largest auto market. Now, this isn't just a Tesla problem. These job cuts sort of are a reflection of the broader industry trends where companies are reassessing their workforce needs and their growth strategies in light of these new economic challenges. Now, in an internal memo, Tesla CEO Elon Musk, he highlighted the necessity of the layoffs, and he stated, "As we prepare the company for our next phase of growth, it is extremely important to look at every aspect of the company for cost reductions and increasing productivity." Now, these layoffs are coming at a time when Tesla's financial performance is under scrutiny. We've seen its share price down by approximately 34% so far this year. And this is there's a stark contrast between this and the traditional automakers. If you look at Toyota, you look at General Motors, they have all seen their stocks rise this year due to ongoing consumer interest in the good old-fashioned internal combustion engine vehicles. Even Ford is up slightly on the year. Upcoming is Tesla's quarterly earnings report. That's coming up on April the 23rd. Obviously, that's going to be closely watched here. It follows a report recently of decreased global vehicle deliveries for the first time in the company in nearly 4 years, and that's a clear sign that the momentum is slowing. Analysts like Craig Irwin from Roth Capital, he has expressed concerns about the company's future growth prospects. He says, "Tesla is maturing as a company and isn't the growth story that it used to be. Layoffs imply management expects weak demand to persist." Also announced by Tesla, and this is not sort of an insignificant side note here, a senior VP, Drew Baglino, he was one of Tesla's very, very first employees. He has resigned from the company. In an ex post, he didn't elaborate on the reason for his departure. It doesn't sound like he went to another company. He doesn't say anything about having concrete plans in the industry beyond just spending more time with his family. By all accounts, Baglino was a very well-liked leader. His departure certainly is a big blow to Tesla's leadership. Huge day at Blossom Social today. Crowdfunding is officially open. I will put a QR code on the screen. You can go ahead, scan it into your phone. That will take you to the Front Funder landing page where you can read all about this opportunity. As of the filming of this video today, they have already reached 85% of their target rate, so you can go ahead and check it out. Now, if you're looking for a balanced investment solution that can offer you both income and growth potential, you might want to check out the BMO Balanced ETF. This is a fund that invests in a diversified portfolio of global equities and fixed income ETFs. So the BMO Balanced ETF, it's designed to help you achieve your long-term financial goals by adjusting its asset allocation quarterly based on the strategic index weights, you can enjoy the benefits of broad exposure to different markets and sectors, as well as the professional management of the ETFs by BMO Global Asset Management. So the BMO Balanced ETF, it is a fund of funds. It gives you exposure to the underlying funds, all with one low fee. Don't miss this opportunity to invest in a balanced solution that can help deliver cash flow. Learn more about the BMO Balanced ETF today by visiting bmoetfs.com. The Canadian government has recently announced changes to the mortgage lending rules, and this is a decision that is likely to impact Canada's real estate sector quite significantly here. And I understand the intention behind this rule. It's more to facilitate access to housing, especially for first-time homebuyers. That's where it's kind of targeted to. But in my opinion, these changes could lead to significant unintended consequences. And I run a weekly poll in our Pulse newsletter. So far this week, 72% of our readers agree with me, and they say that this new decision will end up being more of a problem than it will be a solution. If you haven't already voted there, you can click on the link on this page. You can add your voice to that conversation. I do want to break down the key aspects of the policy shift here and have a look at their significant potential implications. First off, let's have a quick look at what the new rules are. Now, Finance Minister Chrystia Freeland, she outlined the new measures that include extending the mortgage amortization period and also increasing the withdrawal limits for the first-time home buyers plan. Now, specifically, starting on August the 1st, the amortization period for new insured mortgages for newly built homes, and that is a unique feature of this program here, that are purchased by first-time home buyers, that's going to extend from 25 years to 30 years. Also, the withdrawal limit for the home buyers plan, that's going to increase from $35,000 currently to $60,000. And that is effective on budget day, which just happens to be tomorrow. Now, there are some potential political motivations that I see here. The changes appear, to me at least, to be timed to boost the housing market. This is an area that everybody's been struggling with just before we head into an election year. And this is possibly to appeal to younger voters who might not sort of have a full grasp of the economic implications of these policies. It's sort of a shiny object there. The timing, like I say, suggests a strong political motivation behind the adjustments, aiming to enhance the current government's appeal amongst these demographic groups. The new policies are expected to inject more demand into a market that's already experiencing deep supply shortages. If we look, for example, at what Derek Holt has to say, he's the vice president and head of capital markets economics for Scotiabank. He points out the last thing that the housing market needs is more demand pressure on top of wildly excessive immigration, little supply, and a strong job market. So this increased demand here is certainly likely to drive housing prices up even further. And that's just going to go to complicate the efforts to make housing more affordable. It's a little bit counterintuitive here. It potentially could make even worse the housing affordability crisis that we've seen, especially over time. It also has implications on the Bank of Canada's rate decisions here. The increased demand that is brought on by these changes, it might actually make these nearer term rate cuts that we're looking for from the bank less likely. That, of course, could potentially just aggravate our productivity issues that we've spoken about on this channel recently. When you think about it, as more resources are diverted towards housing, well, it's a limited budget. That leaves less remaining for addressing our broader economic challenges, and we're including in that enhancing productivity and competitiveness. I think here the government's easing of the mortgage rules, it's intended to help these first-time home buyers, it's intended to stimulate the housing market, but it also poses risks by over-inflating a potentially already volatile market.
Before we jump into the next segment of news, we'd like to thank our good friends and sponsor of today's episode over at Addy, a company that is absolutely changing the game for real estate investing. Until now, investing in real estate has been an asset for the rich, requiring big down payments and the headache of managing crappy tenants. Well, Addy is here to change that. As the largest real estate crowdfunding platform in Canada, you can now own fractional shares of real estate projects right in your home city with as little as a dollar. Yes, as little as a dollar. On their extremely modern and easy to use app, you can view projects available for investment and get exposure to the real estate game with a dollar amount that you feel comfortable with. Fair warning, when these new projects drop, they sell out quick, and rightly so, as Addy boasts over $800 million in total asset value, they've been providing investors with capital appreciation and distributions that were not possible until now. You can start building your own little portfolio of real estate projects in their Addiverse like I have, and you can try them out for completely free by clicking the link in the show notes or visiting addiinvest.ca. Addi is now available in all provinces and territories, and you can use our code BEAVIS50, that's BEAVIS50, to get 50% off your Addi One membership. Once again, you can visit their website at addiinvest.ca, that's addiinvest.ca, or click the link in the show notes and be sure to use the code BEAVIS50 for 50% off on your Addi One membership.
Alberta has been experiencing unprecedented population growth. They have seen a record-breaking increase of 202,324 residents just in 2023, and that now pushes its population to 4.8 million. And this growth is largely attributed to international migration, but it did also see a significant influx from within Canada, mainly from Ontario and British Columbia. You can definitely see the economic benefits of the population boom, and you can see this in the retail sectors, in the construction sectors. But along with that, of course, the strain is also becoming more and more apparent. First off, you see housing prices. They've started to rise significantly. That makes it less affordable for longer-term residents. Dawn Heron-Mazur, she's a Calgary real estate agent. She says, in 2022, it felt like everyone was saying, Alberta's on sale. This is great. This is amazing. But now people who are from here are starting to feel like, is this really that much on sale anymore? Because we're here in Alberta and we're struggling to buy our own homes here. And this is an issue that we've seen particularly in British Columbia and Ontario. Now Alberta is starting to feel very much a similar effect there. Now also, as is quite predictable, the infrastructure is starting to struggle to keep pace with this population growth. There are shortages in skilled laborers, positions like construction workers, welders, and new residents are starting to face difficulties in accessing essential services, things like healthcare and education. The province's future, it looks set here for continued growth. The predictions that are that they will reach 6 million residents by the end of 2039. So this whole issue, it's a double-edged sword. Obviously, it's going to call for a proactive planning for investment from both the provincial and the federal governments to manage the growth sustainably and to ensure that Alberta can continue to thrive without falling to the pressures of this rapid expansion. Again, big news over at Blossom Social today. I will put a link in the description of this video. You can check them out there. Tomorrow here in Canada, it's budget day. Also, we're going to be getting our latest inflation numbers. So there's a lot of information coming out tomorrow. I will update everything from these two major stories in my next video here. As always, I thank you for watching and we'll see you on Wednesday.